From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he brings a message entitled, The Love of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, the Apostle Paul is requesting prayer for himself, and he says, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. In dealing with this subject, Dr. Cairns first seeks to answer the question, what is the love of the Spirit to which Paul refers? As we'll see, there are several possibilities, each of which contains great encouragement for God's people. One view is that this is the witness of God's Spirit to the hearts of believers that God loves them. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to answer the question, how do we distinguish faith from presumption? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
In a Christian's prayer life, how to distinguish faith from presumption? It can be difficult because Christians are in the flesh. Christians have strong desires, and they may well make the mistake. I mean, I've seen it happen again and again, and I found myself falling into it at times, of imposing their will upon the Lord's will, saying that this must be so. I've heard people come and just take a verse of scripture and say, that's for me, and lift it out and say, I have God's promise, when, well, I have no indication they have God's promise. So what's faith and what's presumption? So say, it can be difficult. But however, faith is always, and this is a very basic definition, but faith is always a response to a definitive divine revelation. Faith is never just a human feeling or a human emotion. It is not merely even a human desire, however strong. All those things may be present, but faith is a reaction to what God has said or what God has promised. That's the fundamental thing. Now, the answer, therefore, for me as a Christian has always got to be to the question, what saith the Lord? What does the Lord say about this? And if it's something that the Bible does not specifically address, for example, I have a neighbor, I want to see him saved, I'm praying for him. Now, the Bible doesn't mention my neighbor by name or even by reference. So, can I know the will of God? Well, I believe I can. But it's not simply by saying, well, there's a verse of scripture, I'm going to lift it out and stand on it. That's something I've got to take before the Lord. Now, there's an ingredient here that we can't miss. Romans chapter 8 tells us that they who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The mark of the sons of God is that they have the indwelling Spirit. The indwelling Spirit lives within a Christian, and he leads a Christian. Now, his leadership is one thing. Our submissive following is another. When Paul says in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, he is talking about existing full or under the control of the Holy Spirit, submitted to the control and the leadership of the Spirit of God. And where a Christian is doing that, the Spirit will lead. And where the Spirit doesn't give that conviction and that leadership, then a Christian should not seek to impose it or should not seek to dream it up. Where I don't know the will of God, as for example in praying for an individual, I can pray the Lord according to his will move upon that person's heart and submit everything to the will of God. It doesn't stop me praying for him, because God's will is the best and I can never do any better than that. But that will keep me from presumption. Presumption is where I go ahead of the leading of the Spirit. Faith is where I'm responding to something that I know the Bible has revealed and the Spirit has imposed upon my conscience.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
With the messages on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, we come this morning to a little phrase in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. This is one of the great texts of the New Testament on the subject of prayer. I would commend it to your most careful attention. I think that you will find as you study this text from that point of view that it has much to say to God's people, and especially to the church as a body of God's people, on the subject of prevailing prayer. But I want particularly to emphasize its reference to the Spirit. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. This morning I want us particularly to think upon that part of the text, the love of the Spirit. Some few years ago there was a very popular song in Great Britain. I don't know if it ever was popular over here. I can still sort of hear a Jewish crooner, a female Jewish crooner singing, "Little things mean a lot." And I've often thought of those words as I have come to study the Scriptures, because certainly in Bible interpretation, very often, very little things mean a great deal. You take these words, the love of the Spirit, and as in many other texts of a similar construction, the Bible scholars have more than a little argument as to the meaning of the word of. What does it mean? Most of them take in this text that it means the love which the Holy Ghost causes Christians to feel and to express one for another. Indeed, some of them are very strong in giving that as the meaning of the text. I think of one great commentator on the book of Romans, one of the very best commentators, one whose work I would very highly commend, Robert Haldane. And when he came to this text, he indeed said that if anybody, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, but this is his meaning, if anybody would read an additional meaning into this, that it would be a very great sin, because it leads to laziness in studying the Word of God, if you can recognize that the words, perchance, may have more than one grammatical and therefore textual meaning. I'm not at all sure that the great Haldane is right. I read in Matthew Henry's commentary, and if there's one commentator I could aspire to be, it would be Matthew Henry. Spurgeon used to tell his students, if you have to sell your shirt to buy Matthew Henry's commentary, sell your shirt. And remember, he was speaking in a day when his students and his ministers lived almost on no money at all, and very often it would be literally having to sell a shirt in order to get a book. Which was why Mrs. Spurgeon set up the pastor's book fund, but that's another story. That's how good Matthew Henry is. The greatest of all devotional commentaries written in the English language, and I believe in any language, Matthew Henry's commentary. Yet when I read that commentary, I find that again and again and again, Matthew Henry comes to a passage of Scripture where he recognizes that the grammatical form of the words may mean one thing or they may mean another. And he humbly recognizes that where he cannot say it's one or the other, that God the Holy Spirit is directing his mind to recognize that the literal force of those words may give rise to more than one line of thought. And he would say, taking it this way, this is the application. Taking it this way, this is the application. When we come to Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, the love of the Spirit, I believe that you'll find that that is a phrase whose meaning is much broader than the simple one-sided meaning that Haldane and others give to it. And so today, I want us to think of the love of the Spirit and simply answer some basic questions about it. First of all, what is the love of the Spirit? Well, I think that it's always a good rule in Bible interpretation to go to what the same writer in the same book has already said on the same subject. And you'll find that very often that will give you a line as to the meaning of a particular text. Now, back in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, we read of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it says here, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. What is the love of the Spirit? The love of the Spirit is first and foremost his witness of God's love for God's people in the hearts of those people. It is the peculiar ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to bring to the heart of a believer the knowledge that God loves him. There is nothing brighter, nothing more encouraging, nothing that will build up a believer in holiness, nothing that will empower him to serve Christ with confidence, nothing that will make him pray, study the Bible, and witness more than the knowledge in his heart, God loves me. I am the object of the perpetual love of God. I am the object of the peculiar love of God. When Christ died on Calvary, he died for me. When he cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Holy Ghost witnesses it was his love for you that brought Christ to that position, and it was the Father's love for you that had him so visit his vengeance upon his Son on Calvary. There is nothing that we more need than the knowledge of the love of God. Now, of course, we're getting to something that's so simple that every Christian says, "I believe that." Do you? Do you live in that knowledge? The love of God is something that preachers have preached about and usually misused the scriptures in preaching about to such an extent that it has become a trite phrase, the love of God. But when a man is really gripped in his heart and overwhelmed by the love of God shed abroad within him, when throughout his being there is this all-encompassing thought, God loves me. It's the sweetest thing that the Holy Spirit can say to his heart. In fact, everything else is just a doctrine without that. Without that, everything else is just a theoretical truth. Without that, our religion is a religion of the mind. But my, when God the Holy Spirit comes and his love grips our soul, he witnesses to us of God's love for us personally, then our religion is brought out of the realm of the speculative and is brought into the realm of the dynamic. That's what makes the difference. When the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our heart the absolute assurance of God's love. You think of those passages of life when you're going through the dark times, man fails you, churches fail you, you feel yourself, you wonder, is there hope? Is there anything worthwhile? When God the Holy Spirit comes and says, "God loves you." Now there's a light in the darkness. There's the strength that will give you a backbone like a crowbar. It will never bend or break under the pressures of life when God the Holy Spirit witnesses that to you. God loves you. There are times when the devil comes and he seeks to rob the child of God of all his joy and all his usefulness by destroying in him any confidence. First of all, it would appear that he's trying to destroy any confidence in himself, but in reality he's trying to destroy any confidence in the Lord. How often a Christian is brought to the place of believing, "Well, my life doesn't count for anything. I'm nobody. If I were gone tomorrow, nobody would miss me anyway. My life has not amounted to anything. I have had no spiritual success. I'm a failure in this, a failure in that, a failure there, a failure in the other place." And the devil keeps on piling on the guilt and piling on the agony. How do you get out of that? The answer in most churches is to talk about ways of getting a positive self-image. I have very simple advice to you about all the programs to give yourself a positive self-image. Burn them. Get rid of them as fast as you possibly can, for you're dealing with a devil's counterfeit. And I don't care how they dress it up with text of scripture, you're dealing with a devil's counterfeit. When you get preachers start talking about ways and means of getting a positive self-image, you've got away from the gospel. Just let a man, when he's under that kind of pressure, when the devil has brought him down to the place where he would rather die than live, when he wants to give up, when he feels that there's nothing in him that has ever been any good, and there's nothing in him that ever will amount to any good, let that man feel God the Holy Spirit's ministry, telling him that God loves him, that God is embracing him to his bosom, that Christ has within his heart a mighty, unconquerable love for him, and that all that Jesus did was done for him. Let that man but see that ministry, and I tell you, his troubles will be dealt with. All the problems will be there to be faced. The next day will still have to be lived. But within him, having confidence in the love of Christ, there will be the confidence to live in that love. And to conquer in that love. That's the way forward for the child of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.